Committee on Labour meeting. We are joined today by Gupta Dumbumluana. You are welcome, Honourable Member. Thank you for being with us today. I just want to advise the committee formally that a member of this committee in the name of Honourable Tolashe is no longer going to be part of the committee. She got another deployment in the Eastern Cape. So when you don't see her, don't think she has just skipped committee. It is because she was sent elsewhere to do the work of the party that deployed her to Parliament. I'll give the opportunity now to the Secretary of the Committee to take us through the agenda as well as apologies so that we proceed as such. We understand that Honourable Mbumluana will go to another commitment when the relevant time arrives, because he has another commitment, but he felt that he has to start in the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the members and the department. The agenda for today, the 28th of February 2018, is as follows. We receive apologies, adoption of the agenda, a briefing by the Department of Labour updating on the Labour Activation Program of the UIF, deliberations on that presentation, and then a consideration of last week's draft minutes, and then a way forward on the bills that are before the committee currently. Thank you, Chair. Apologies that I have received. One is from the DG, who is busy chairing the SADC meetings. And also we received an apology from Mr. Bagrain, Mr. Kawama, Mr. Madisha, Mr. Muteka, and as you have mentioned, Ms. Tolashe. Thank you, Chair. Mr. America also mentioned that he's stuck in traffic, he will be arriving a little bit late. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Secretary. That's the agenda and the apologies. Anyone who wants to move for the adoption of the agenda, because with the apologies they are relevant, All those apologies are in writing. So as a procedure of the committee, we are accepting them. In terms of the agenda, anyone who wants to move for the adoption or make additions or subtractions? Honourable Franz Kalkwick.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Adoption moved, seconded by Honourable Teko. Thank you, Honourable Members. That then takes us to the third item, which is briefing by the Department of Labour by updating us on the Labour Activation Programme of the UIF. Acting DG.
Thank you, Chairperson. I take the pleasure of being the Acting DG today. My name is Debo Marupin. I'm standing in for the DG and also presenting on behalf of UIF. Progress on labor activation. Just as a way of introduction, I'm with five members with me. I have also Nabile Nochikila, right at the front. Oh, can I check that the committee knows these members and not waste the committee's time?
They are familiar faces, yes. But they may have changed titles, so go ahead.
Okay, yes, and then we have Stephen Chwet from the Minister's Office right at the back. He's changed his name. He's changed his title. Namhlekazi Unyakemba, also with us. Umar Kole from the Office of the DG, and Umar Tapelo here. Thank you. I'll shoot straight to the presentation, Chair, and focus on the issues that the committee raised in the previous visits. So that we can bring the committee up to speed.
Sorry to disturb. I just want to acknowledge the delegate from the ambassador, from the office of the ambassador of Germany. He's with us. So as you speak, you must know that Germany will know what you are talking about. Over over to you, Mr. Marokin.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm encouraged because we visited Germany to learn a few things, which also explains the reason why we are massifying the limb activation. I've listed 10 things that the committee raised in the previous meeting, the previous visit that they had with limb activation programs. The first one, there was a concern from the committee around project management and also our heavy reliance on our partners to monitor these projects. What I can confirm, Chair, is at this level, the first thing that we've done now, we have a service level agreement with PERS, and currently we are paying 30% of public employment services salary bill. And we put this service level agreement so that they can manage and follow up on our progress, so that we can get value for money on the 30% that we are paying. So in the new year, we expect things to be different. We've also defined processes, but I'll touch on those later. The second thing we've done here is the provincial structures, which is a deputy director for each province and two assistant directors has been approved by the minister. We are currently in discussions with the minister in DPSA for concurrence, because that's how the processes unfold. And we're just hoping that the process won't be delayed with the new minister coming in. And then the second item that we're looking at is a breakdown of gender per project. The committee were concerned that the projects are not broken down in terms of gender and youth. Our new project list has been broken down to reflect the distributions. There was also a concern about the number of learners absorbed. I think we can still confirm that this is still a challenge, as I've left it to Ember, that we are not yet at the stage where we want to be. But what we've done at this stage, we've changed the expression of interest that we issue for all our partners, that part of the offering is for these partners to guarantee placement for our learners, so that we know that after training, they have a workplace exposure, and then we can also look at them being placed permanently into those employment. But it remains Ember, because these are the expression of interest that were issued in November, and they weren't issued in January. Visibility of cost, this one is green because we are now putting the cost implications for each project in our reporting. We also give a democratic breakdown for all the projects to reflect how many projects are in which province and how many learners per province. In terms of visits, as you recall, Chairperson, in the previous visit that the portfolio committee had, it was quite clear that as UIF, we are not visiting some of these projects, and hence there were gaps that the committee picked up. We've intensified our visit now. We have the leave activation visiting provinces I'm going to reflect later on. And I've also brought in monitoring and evaluation just to go and visit this project to confirm impact. And as I said earlier in the first action, that also public employment services will also be visiting some of these provinces as some of the projects as part of the monitoring of our projects. The visibility of the project universe, we have that, it's in a huge spreadsheet which we can make available to the committee if required. And we're also breaking it down, status of each project, so that the committee can know where a project is. And then I think labor activation, additional capacity, I've touched on about the submission that has been approved by the minister, but also what we are doing with the additional capacity. As part of us empowering the labor activation team, we are bringing in additional interns in the labor activation space. That will also be looking at contracts, project management, and project administration, and we will also have them distributed across the provinces. Spade work has been done. We are going to be sending out an advert in March, tomorrow. As the month starts tomorrow, we're going to give out an advert for particularly this area. And then the last one, the committee was concerned the previous time about the NQF level of the training intervention that we're providing. This also has been defined in the project metrics to reflect what level each project is. And moving swiftly on the next slide, I think I'm not going to spend much time on this one, but just to indicate to the committee that in the previous time we were here, we also highlighted ourselves that there are some of the challenges that we've picked up for learners, one being the host employer, which we have now put into the expression of interest, The second one is the issue of the stipend. What I can confirm here, committee members, is that we've done an actuarial valuation to check in terms of affordability and also to do a comparative analysis on how other CETAs and other entities are dealing with the stipend and also look if is it affordable, is it sustainable. We have a report that has been presented to EXCO that we are considering. The maximum that they've given us is 3,000, and they've given it, they've given us a breakdown between 2,200. That 2,200 is relatively acceptable, but 3,000 is the most ideal. So we are considering these options and see which one we can start with and then maybe migrate to a particular amount. But we haven't made a decision, but we intend to make a decision no later than the end of March, so that we can close on this matter. Learners to incur costs from their pockets for medical checkups. This is now part of the expression of interest, so that when our partners keep bringing expression of interest, it's also part of the costing. The costing with respect to the tools of trade, when they do training, we also put it as part of the expression of interest. And the quality and quantity of personnel is also part of the expression of interest. Now, we are doing all of this so that we make sure that our learners don't struggle when they go for training and they're not found wanting for. And then in the next slide, this slide is just to remind members that with the big target that we have, this is the new format that Labour Activation will be functioning. There are going to be roles that are performed at head office. There are going to be roles that are performed at the provincial environment. And in terms of head office, the main thrust for head office is to define strategy, processes, standard operating guides, and also targets and put together budgets. In terms of our provincial infrastructure, we want the provinces to run the implementation because that's where the work is done. They'll run with the recruitment, assessment, counseling, coaching, placement, and evaluate the process, the projects. We'll be bringing in internal audit as well because we want to close all the control issues. That internal audit will also sample. We'll pick a sample that they can look at to test if are we following our processes to the T. I wouldn't want us to wait for Auditor General to pick up issues, but I want us to be proactive and get both monitoring and evaluation and internal audit to test. I think maybe the missing leg here in terms of improving our monitoring infrastructure is to bring risk. So that as the amount that we spend increases, that we also bring risk to help us with risk assessment. On slide 7, I think here the blocks, where we have green blocks, this is just a reflection that last time when we were here, we presented that we have looked at turnaround solutions, processes and process flows, standard operating guide, training layoffs processes, and also training of unemployed processes. But now these processes have now been taken through governance structures, they are signed off and are ready for implementation. So it's not just documents that have been put together but have not been signed off. So we've taken them through governance structures and we are now comfortable. I think the one area that we are still working on is enterprise development. This is a new territory for us at this stage. We have a proposed process flows, but we are still working on the detailed standard operating guide and processes. Because here, we want to empower UIF beneficiaries to be able to run their own businesses, but we want to do it right. So we are still defining it. The plan is to have this cleaned up by no later than end of March, so that at least all those red dots are also become green. And also have a green box with them. In the next slide, Chair, I'm not going to spend much time on this picture, but just to assure the committee that previously when we presented here, the performance of labor activation was sitting at around 40%. And just to show the committee that we're also making inroads in terms of performance of labor activation as a whole, we've moved now to 69%, and I'm hoping by the end of the financial year, we'll be sitting at just over 80%. Just to give members assurance that we're also driving performance of the labor activation as a unit. In slide 11, I'm not going to go line by line, but just to show the committee that we are also giving the committee a breakdown per province. As we are engaging in projects, we also give a breakdown per province as it was required previously, that we need to start focusing on this breakdown to reflect if are we covering each province and to what extent is each province covered. There's also the project on entrepreneurship. This is a new territory. You can see the numbers are small. And we are doing a dry run with Gauteng and KZN. We are going to go to other provinces until once we get our processes running smoothly. And then I'll move on to slide 13. In slide 13, the emphasis here, members, is on the status of the current active projects. As you can see, they vary between three stages. One is that you still have people that are still busy in class. Some of them have completed the theory and some of them are already at the workplace. And in some instances, the challenge that we are still facing are those, because these are old projects now, are there people who still have a workplace outstanding that we are still engaging with partners to see how swiftly we can get them into a workplace for them to get a workplace exposure. We have some members in our labor activation subcommittee or the committee of the board that also have committed to assist us to deal with the workplace exposure so that these learners can go for training. You would see, members, that there are some of the areas where you have, we have targeted, say, for example, 50, but the number of people that are in class is around 7. Our main challenge with these small numbers is our stipend is too low, and hence we've done our actuarial evaluation so that we are able to deal with the competing desire of our learners to go to a training intervention that gives them 500 rands more, 200 rands more. We have learners that have moved just for 200 rands more to a CETA-funded training program. And with the analysis that we've had, we may be able to close these gaps, that we are able to keep the learners in class and contain them. And then the other issue that we are still finalizing with respect to some of this training is issues of finalizing our stipend by end of March, so that at least when we put our learners for training, the stipend issues is sorted and we can contain them. And they're also able to compete with the stipend that is offered by other training. And also, to a degree, we are trying to bring this stipend as close as possible to the minimum living wage without breaking the bank and keeping a balance. And then moving to slide 16. I think on this slide, Chairperson and members, is just to give the committee assurance that the issue that was raised by the committee previously about labor activation, not visiting projects, we have intensified. We can see that in the last quarter, we have visited 43 projects. Where you see 0 or 1 and 2s is because in our previous report that we have presented, these are the areas that we had visited. And so we didn't emphasize on them, but focus on the areas that we hadn't visited. As you can see, Gauteng at 9 and KwaZulu-Natal and Western Cape and Northwest, they were our main focus for the quarter. Other quarters, we just visited just a few. And then the last few slides that I'm going to present is on the proposed target for 18-19. But here again is to give the committee assurance that whilst we have moved from a target of 6,000 to a target of 450,000, we are not just sitting and waiting for the target to shock us at the end of the year. We are putting together actions in place. But let me start with a redefined labor activation. This is now slide 18. If you look at this target, this is just a one-pager that defines what labor activation is about. We are doing three things as labor activation that we want to drive. First, we want to enable entrepreneurship, where we enable UIF beneficiaries to become self-employed. And this is one of the things that you've learned from our German counterpart, that the majority of the work that is done in Germany is driven by your SMMEs. Small companies. I mean, the simple one is Umama Endlin opening an early childhood development at home and just hosting 5 children. And it allows a mother who doesn't have any qualification with standard 8 to have early childhood development at home and run just a team of 5 children and are able to make ends meet with just 5 children. It's some of the simple solutions that we're looking at that we want to drive with enterprise development. And thereon with enhanced employability is we want to enable our UIF beneficiaries to give them simple basic skills and also give them some of the technical and complicated skills so that they are able to penetrate the market and be employable, but also get into those spaces where there's few people, especially amongst the black people, that are exposed to those schemes. Like your underwater welding is a new environment, a new terrain for black people, and want to introduce more black people into underwater welding and improve their skills. And also want to move swiftly in terms of job preservation, with training layoff schemes and turnaround solutions. We have already reviewed the training layoff scheme process, but currently it takes way too long. We want this process to take at most 20 days. So within 20 days, we're able to give a decision to the company that is deserving of the intervention. And what we have below are some of the targets that we want to drive in the next 3 years. So we want to commit about 1.7 billion to help startup or to drive entrepreneurship. 400,000 job opportunities that we want to source from these entrepreneurs. And we want to be able to bring about 50,000 business opportunities. 85% matching and placement. The target for the next 3 years is to train about 3.45 million trained people and preserve 100,000 jobs so that UIF start to make an impact and be relevant. I think ideally, the other thing that we've learned from our visit to Germany was we need to start moving UIF towards an employment, I need some water. We want to move it from an unemployment insurance fund to an employment insurance fund, where we are more proactive in our intervention and we engage the market much quicker. And that's the new trend that all the unemployment insurance funds across the world are moving towards. And we believe these targets that we are driving now with labor activation are going to shift UIF towards EIF. But I think we'll come to that proposal when the time is right. And I think here, this is just a pictorial view of the same slide I presented in slide 18. The only area that I want to focus on is the piece on the far right, that if labor activation does what you're supposed to do and you do it well, we are going to increase our contribution towards the tax, because more people now will be employed and will be contributing towards tax. To the contrary, we are going to be spending more, but we are also going to be collecting more, because more people are going to be employed and be contributing towards UIF. So there's going to be that balancing act. Quality of life will change for people. We'll also give people dignity that they most require, that people go home and have no jobs, but with this training, it will also provide that dignity. We'll contribute towards reduction in crime level and poverty and unemployment if we start driving these targets aggressively. I'm going to skip this slide 20 because I've presented it before, and slide 21, and go straight to slide 22. It's a busy slide, but I think the next time we come, we'll break it even further. But what we're showing here is that we've defined the process to achieve the 450,000 target. We're not just sitting chairperson and members. We've defined the target, and in slide 23, we've gone even further to break it down on the dates where we'll be issuing expression of interest, and also engaging some of the providers that will help us drive these targets. I think I'll stop at the chairperson and maybe open for questions. Thank you.
Welcome, Honorable America. We received your apology. Thus, the presentation, Honorable Members. Are there any clarity-seeking questions from your side? I'm noting Honorable Franz Kalfweg. Any other hand? Honorable America, Honorable Tongwane, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to appreciate the report that has been given in terms of by the acting DG. I also acknowledge the progress made in terms of our previous concerns that has been raised, and the movement, the positive movement in these areas. In terms of the way forward, Chairperson, they indicate that there is some movement in some of the areas, although it's a moving target and it's progress. But if we get an indication or in terms of percentage-wise how you are moving, it will be assisting. Because if you say that it's work in progress, but we are standing at 50% or something like that, if you can give us some clearer indication on how far are you moving in terms of addressing those issues that's been raised as concerns. Then you've mentioned in terms of the job that has been created or the adverts that will go out in March. So can you also, if you have the information at hand, otherwise you can also provide it at the later stage on how many jobs are being created and by when you plan to fill this position, if you plan to advertise it in March. Then I want to commend the entity in terms of the improvement of the performance to 69%. And I want to, you've mentioned in slide 19 in terms of your turnaround strategy that hasn't been developed, standing at 0%. So by when do you plan to develop this strategy for implementation? In slide 11, you are mentioning some areas that in terms of that you say, for instance, I've looked at the provincial spread of the programs that you are addressing, and I'm specifically looking at the solar geyser installations project. I know that you've indicated that you have limited funds available, but I see that you are only focusing on Gauteng, whereas I know in various provinces there is a desperate need, for instance, like RDP houses that has been built with solar geysers, but it hasn't been installed, so the community members can't get the benefit of those initiatives by the government. So if you can at least try and spread it throughout the provinces, even if it's just a few and majority based in the one province, it will be of assistance. And also in terms of capacitating some individuals to transfer those skills to other people also, it will be of assistance. Then you spoke about the skills that or the placement of people that you made, and I wanted to know if you are engaging other departments and entities in terms of the relevant skills that they need to redirect your training needs to address that, especially local government and your main departments. Thank you, Chairperson.
I was about to give you a red card. Honorable America.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just going to say that Honorable Van Schalkwyk is taking advantage because my colleague is not here. Be that as it may, Honorable Chair, I think Commissioner, thank you for the report. It's appreciated from our side as well. What's saying at the report is that you indicate that after you have put learners through a training layer process, the uptake of employers is not as enthusiastic to absorb these newly trained recruits into full-time employment, hence possibly your renewed consciousness that entrepreneurship should be a strong sort of focus so that people who have been exposed to, who are beneficiaries of these schemes are able to seek employment for themselves in the form of starting little enterprises. That's welcome. I mean, certainly we know that the labor market and the economic conditions is of such a nature that it cannot absorb all the entrants into the market because of low economic growth. My question is that there's been, if you look at this spreadsheet in terms of projects that you're involved in, it looks as if there's an overemphasis in two provinces, namely Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. You know, South Africa consists of 9 provinces. There's great need in the Eastern Cape as a result of huge unemployment within all provinces, so to speak. So what are you doing to make it possible that people in particular rural provinces who are often far removed from opportunities, that they are exposed to more opportunities so that it could have that beneficial effect that you outlined so eloquently on slide 19, improve the fiscus, quality of life, dignity, and reduction of crime levels, because certainly in my view that a concerted effort need to be applied to give our youth in particular in rural provinces an equal shake in life, which I think currently they don't get. And lastly, Madam Chair, is that I'd like to latch on to the last question that Honourable Skokte raised, namely the Solar Geyser project. To what extent, and I know and we all know in the housing developments in sunny provinces, where there's lots of sun, is there collaboration between the Department of Human Settlement so that you could link the opportunities with the existing houses that's being built for our people? Because I know my constituency is handing over now 300 houses. Not one of those houses has a solar geyser attached to it. And it's in the Karoo, and it is 95% of the year extremely hot. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm covered in terms of the questions that I had, but the only request that I can make was the spreadsheet that was mentioned on slide 3 that I wanted you to make available for the committee. Thank you.
Okay. Two questions are left from the list I had. For instance, I applaud you for thinking of bringing in this issue of internal audit, because it's going to make things a bit easier for you when you go to AJ. In slide 9, you are reflecting there on the performance in terms of your training. I'm worried about the unemployed UI beneficiaries because that percentage of 33 is low. And it cannot be that you are unable to access beneficiaries of the UI beneficiaries. There's a lot of unemployed youth whose parents were either contributing or themselves, they were contributing on UI. And also, it means your inspectors should, from the department now, not necessarily from you, I should jack up their act of ensuring that employers do deduct for UI, because this thing of beneficiaries is worrying. Then you have where you are to develop and implement left and around strategy. Is it because it's not yet time to implement or what, that you have 0% there? The other one is to compare two provinces that are beneficiaries. For instance, in slide 14, you are reflecting that, in slide 13 first, you are reflecting that PAL, the Poland TVET College has performed in terms of getting about 48%, that's the performance of Poland TVET. In slide 14, West Coast, you have about 7 out of 50, which is about 14%. You indicated that the stipend that is given currently is not enticing them. The million-dollar question would be, if then they are better off in terms of the stipend you are offering, it's not enticing them, why don't you take the legal stipend to a needy area? Because it means they don't need your 20 rands. But there is a province where 20 rands make a difference. I'm just making an example. Why continue with them? Because it's not the first time that you are coming with this report. And performance has always been like this. And the last one is to add on to what Honorable America has indicated. Gauteng seems to be getting more, whereas it has more opportunities for employment. Why are you taking coal to Newcastle? Because it's not needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and members. I'm looking at the questions. I think some of the inputs are comments that you need to go back and consider and review the work that you are doing. In particular, let me just take the one about concentration in Gauteng and KZN, that we need to go back and look at the distribution. I think what we've done is, in slide 23, as an example, we are going to have a province-based expression of interest, where we target provinces now, so that provinces can bring their own programs that speaks to province-based programs. I think that's part of the things that are going to help us to start moving away from giving Gauteng or KZN, but also to have other provinces bringing something in the pot. I think the other area that members have raised is around collaboration with other departments, especially for placement. I'm still struggling with a legal framework, because as I'm engaging supply chain, there's issue about transferring funds to another department. I'm still trying to find a legal way. I've already engaged Public Works. Public Works has more opportunities for our beneficiaries. I mean, they want to refurbish their buildings, some of them done security. So opportunities are plenty in Public Works. We just need to find a way that will govern their relationship. In North Africa, I think there's an SLA that we had worked on, if I'm not mistaken, SLA with Public Works, that we still need to finalize. I think that will then open the doors for placement of our learners. And I think what members are raising is maybe we need also to look at municipalities in these areas where there might be opportunities. There's something that we'll consider. The turnaround strategy has been developed and is implemented. The reason why we're at zero is the slide that I presented earlier, that there are certain things that I was still fine-tuning to give it a better look and a facelift, which is slide 18 and 19. And this area has been finalized. So by the end of the quarter, this part would be done. Or by the end of the financial year, because then now we know exactly where everything else fits in together. In terms of training of unemployed, yes, this is a genuine concern that the members are raising. We have started our supplying process in terms of expression of interest to get these people going for training. We just got stuck with our supply chain process, which we've now cleaned up. And the target will be met by end of the year. The idea is that by end of the year, we need to have at least 5,000 people in class and in training. We've already done the expression of interest. Contracts have been signed. These people will be going to class. They're expected to start going to class from the beginning of March. Some of them are already starting now. So I'm expecting also that 33% to look different. The next time around, I come to report. And then the advert for interns, we're looking at about 100 and just over 100. Let me just not specify the number, but over 100. Because the intention is at least we need to have about 9 per province. So at least, not 9, we are expecting to have at least 1 intern per labor center, which would give us about 126. In this way, then the reach to the project and in the community is much easier. And the recruitment will happen in, that rate will go out in March. And then in terms of performance, percentage progress improvement, and I'm just risking Honorable Van Skalkwyk now, it's over 60%, because out of the 10, the issues that have raised, six of them have been addressed 100%. It's only the 4 that are in Ember. So I could safely put it over, just over 60%, but I think the next time I come, we'll give a scientific feedback on where we are sitting. The solar geyser, let me not justify the numbers that we have. There's no reason why we shouldn't be spreading our wings and engaging the human settlement to get this thing done. We'll just get on it immediately so that we can spread our wings and talk to human settlement. I think the other issue on the stipend consideration, I think you've given us a different leg that we never thought of. That maybe the people that are working out of class don't need a stipend, and we need to go to people that actually need the stipend and can make use of it. We'll work on it, Chairperson. I hope I didn't miss any questions. I think, as I said, the others are comments that we'll take into consideration to improve our processes. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Teko.
Thanks, Chair. We welcome the report from Acting DG. And I want to check because the recruitment, we are saying we are not attracting these people to come on board. The awareness program that we can put in place as a department to alert these members. And also on page 11, there's a slide that says you do visit and monitoring, and the Free State is zero. And I see there are projects there at page 11. So I want to check, is these provinces, if we are not monitoring it, are we going to perform or not? That's my concern. And the issue of awareness on the program that we can put in place. The issue of stipend, also you indicated that we will finalize by 2018 March, so that it attracts the recruitment. So the issue of placement again is, how do you place, and do you have a strategy there for placement again? Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Chair, and thanks, Honorable Cheko. In terms of awareness, our recruitment happens from ESA, because the Department of Public Employment Services, where we recruit all people, and we encourage all the UIF beneficiaries, when they come and claim for unemployment, they are automatically registered on us, and that's where we recruit from. Recruitment is not so much an issue to bring people on board; it's just keeping them in class. I think that's the issue I struggle with. How do you keep them in class? Because some of them have gotten used to earning 6,000, 8,000, and suddenly they get a stipend of 1,005. Their livelihood doesn't match the stipend they're receiving, and they don't prioritize training over what they're getting. But then in some rural areas, 1,005, it's something different. And I think that's the thing we are going to look at. In terms of Free State, in the previous quarter, we had visited Free State. In October, there was a ministerial visit to Free State. And we thought it's prudent that we go and focus in other provinces just for the court. It's not that we're ignoring Free State, Honorable Teko. I think the stipend, the intention is I'm hoping that by end of March, we would have made a decision, and we have also changed agreements and gotten the necessary approval. because at least the main part has been done now, which is the actuarial evaluation, and have given us green light on which areas we can play around in terms of increasing the stipend. I think with placement is still a challenge, but what we've done in the expression of interest that we'll be issuing from now onwards, we are making the requirements for our partners that part of us engaging with these partners, they need to give us a guarantee that our learners will be placed. But I think the main one that I want to take home with today is collaboration with departments, municipalities, and other government entities where we can drive placement much quicker. I think when we come back next time, we'll give you a feel just what we've done then in terms of attending to that matter. Thanks, Chair.
Any further comments? Thank you. I hope you understand that your report, the one you have tabled today, is saying to us things are different from what they were when we did our visit. To take you up on your challenge then, give us a list of all these programs so that as a committee we can just choose randomly where we want to go, to see what is written on paper so that we can now relax knowing that what is presented to us is exactly what is happening on the ground. We can send that through the secretary of the committee. Then as a committee, we'll tell you when we come back from the visit. Because with this, we want the program and the address so that we don't bother you when we want to go to those places, we just go there. Thank you for the presentation. We appreciate the improvement that is reflected in the report. I think you are off the hook for now as a department, and because members are behaving, I'm going to grant them 5 minutes just to grab the tea. I see Honorable Franz Kalfrey, you want to say something?
Sorry, Chair, for coming in. I think on a lighter note, Acting DG, maybe you should also include the GPS coordinates in case we don't find the address.
No, thank you. Thanks, you are afraid there's tea at the back. You can take a cup. Same for members before we continue, because I'm just granting the department an opportunity to go without disturbing our proceedings. Thanks.
Okay. that, was it? So.
Okay.
In the next 2 minutes, we'll resume with our work. Thank you, honorable members. Let's go back to the business of the day. We are now going to deal with the draft minutes. I'll hand over to the secretary because there's something he needs to correct.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to bring to the attention of members that in the draft minutes that I sent to you, I actually forgot to include the name of honorable Teko, of which I've already now rectified that mistake. So if you see on page one, you'll see that her name is not appearing there, but I've since rectified that. Just wanted to bring that change in.
Thank you, members. Minutes were sent to us. So we'll quickly go through page by page. We are on page one. Any corrections other than the inclusion of the name of Honorable Teko on page one? Page 2, any amendments on page 2? Page 3, or page 2, Honorable Teko?
I don't know whether it's a standard procedure, but I see on our agenda, usually we do apologies and adoption of agenda, and this adoption of agenda is not captured in the minutes. Can you clarify
It will since be corrected.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay.
Any other corrections on page 2? We are on page 3. Anyone who moves that this is a true reflection of what we discussed on the 21st February, Honorable Tongwane, seconded by Honorable America. Thank you, Honorable Members. That then takes us to the next item, which is way forward on the bills before the committee. Honorable Members, it's just a rehash that we have 3 bills in front of us that we are doing simultaneously because one impacts on the other 2. The national minimum wage impacts on LRA and BCEA. We agreed in the last meeting that because we have a deadline, which is the 1st of May, we have to work such that on the week after the closing date for submissions by the public, we are to meet on the 22nd. It has since been brought to my attention that on the 27th of March, there is a sitting of the House. Because when we took that decision, we were relaxed, understanding that the next sitting is in May. So we were relaxing a bit. So now that there's an opportunity for a sitting to take place before the date, which is identified as an implementation, and taking into consideration that this has also to go to the NCOP for them to unfold their processes, I'm bringing this back to the committee to appeal once more with the committee that let's go back to our 19, to have a meeting on the 19. I understand what was stated by Honorable America as a party member, not as an individual, that the 19 may be difficult. But I want them to go back to their party, at least to request that they be released on the 19. So can we then, in principle, agree that we are having a meeting on the 19th, on the 20th March, on the 22nd, and on the 23rd, so that we finalize processes on our side to create an opportunity that on the 27th we can be tabling this in front of the House. Honorable Van Schalkwyk.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to formally move the proposal that you've just made with the inclusion that on the 19th, seeing that it's on the Monday, that we start at around 11:30, 12 o'clock, to allow for those members who are traveling to arrive in time for the meeting. But otherwise, I want to formally move that proposal. Thank you, Chair.
Any further comments on the matter? Okay, seeing that there are no further comments, I want to rehash that we request the content advisor because it is so unfortunate. I have to go to the committee section. Remember, after Cindy, we were not given a researcher. Our expectation is that once the submissions come and the closing date is the 16th, they should work around the clock so that on the 19th we do have a summary of the submissions. So that as we are debating based on the summary. Anyone who seconds the amendment of time by Honorable Franz Kalkwick to say, is it 11:30 or 12? Because we can't have 2 times. We won't know what to write in the notice. Honorable Tongwane.
Yes, Chairperson, I think the earlier the best. Let's start at 11:30. Second the proposal.
Okay. 11:30 then on the 19th March, we'll be having a meeting, Honorable Members. That then takes us to an item which is not my competence. Honorable Teko.
Thanks, sir. I propose closure.
Closure is proposed. Any seconder? Honorable America, second. He says he wants to stay. He does not want us to close the meeting. No, I'm joking. Honorable Tongwane, seconds. Thank you, honorable members. The meeting is then closed.